Sticks in a bundle are unbreakable. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today's instant illumination. Sticks in a bundle are unbreakable. This is an African proverb. Sticks in a bundle are unbreakable. When you say, I'm whole and perfect, and you say that once, that's beautiful. When you say, I'm whole and perfect, a million times, you build up in your consciousness that unbreakable bundle of sticks, that unbreakable bundle of consciousness, which stands you in good stead to accomplish whatever it is you want to accomplish. And you say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. And as you say that, you think it, you act it, you look it, you are it, and you enjoy it. If you say, I'm whole and perfect, but boy, this pain hurts. Oh my goodness. I wonder if I should go to the doctor. I wonder if I should go to the dentist. I wonder if I should go to the optometrist. I wonder what I should do. You know, I have itches in my hair. Do you think I have lice? Do you think I have termites or something like that? I have this problem. You see, and right away, name it and enjoy it. Name it and enjoy it. We must train ourselves to stop doing that, because all we do is to limit ourselves. They have a statement that why do good things happen to bad people, and why do bad things happen to good people? Well, it's the same thing. A good person is a good person. And I presume that you're meaning a good person is a good person who has good things happen to them. A good person has good things happen to them when a good person lives in an attitude of harmony and peace and joy for themselves. Now, the mother with the seven children, and they all come down with a cold, and she has to take care of them, and the neighbor says, how come you don't get a cold? She says, I don't have time for a cold. So what is she doing? She is saying, I'm whole and perfect. And if any sniffle comes to her nose, no, I'm whole and perfect. Instantly, she stands up for whatever it is that she wants. Instantly. Now, she's a bad person because she's not creating her children instantly being whole and perfect. But that didn't enter her mind. What entered her mind was she had a duty to do, and she wanted to be in good condition to do her duty. Now, would you say that ostensibly or generally speaking, she is a good person, that she is looking out for the welfare of her family and doing a good job of it, that she is a nice person, perhaps, in many ways, that she's a good person, you know, she's a good person. Everybody in the neighborhood likes her, everybody thinks she's wonderful, everybody thinks she's just grand. We saw a movie on Lassie last night, and the grandpa died. And around the standing people, they were saying he was a good man. Everybody loved him. He never did a bad thing in his life. He was always, you know, a gentle, kind, loving person. You know, he was a good person. Why did he have to die, you know? And they didn't really say why did he have to die, because he was an old man and they felt he should die. He was at least 60 years old, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is back in that day. Mm-hmm. And he acted like an old man. But not really, but he did act like an old man because he was supposed to be an old man. In Jesus' day, 33 was over the hill. And we don't know that, but Jesus acted like a person who was a young chick. You know, he was full of spit and vinegar. Now, the grandpa in the movie, he was full of spit and vinegar too. He was just a real nice guy. But, you see, in the movie, they found that the mother was not really a suitable woman because she's always wearing high heels and always dressing snooty for living on a farm, for being a farmer's wife and a farm girl. It didn't fit. So they had to make some changes in the movie. And the boy was growing up, so they had to bring in a younger boy to maintain the concept of a young boy and Lassie together. And so they moved in a new family. And it was a harmonious thing, even with tears, but it was harmonious. But now, why did bad things happen to good people, like the grandpa dying or them losing the interest in keeping the ranch and this and that? Why did that happen? Well, now, If the mother had played the role she should have played, she would have said, not grandpa, she would have said his name, Henry, for instance. And the boy could have said grandpa, that'd be suitable. But he is not her grandpa. And she called him grandpa. She could have called him dad, because for her, she was like dad. He was like dad. Now, you see, they build an image. And in building this image, we create people living up to the image. And so instead of doing that, if she could have just called him dad, or she could just call him Henry, you know, young Henry, and just always call him young Henry if she wanted to, you know. And my gosh, he would have probably lived to a couple hundred years old. But we age our friends, we age our beloveds, we call them old. We call them old just because they may look old. And of course they look old because we have created them looking old. Have we created them looking young and dynamic? That's up to you. That's up to you, how you want to do it. You see, bad things happen to good people because good people allow themselves to think negative thoughts occasionally. And the negative thought can be, well, everything always goes well in my life, almost. Everything is perfect in my world, almost. You remember the almost? Mm-hmm. See, we all have a tendency to think that's humility, the almost. And it's not humility. It's actually not recognizing our divinity. And good people are not bad people because they are almosting it. They're normal, you know. But they get the results of it. Now, when you have a really good person, and I'm using this in the ultimate of this silliness that it is, when you have a really good person, that person is not subject to anybody else's opinion. That person is not subject to anybody else's idea of how they should act. They just go out and just have a ball. They just go out and do whatever pleases them. They go out, and people like them because they do whatever pleases them. People admire them. They say, my gosh, that's a good person. And if they feel like going next door and sitting down and talking to this voluptuous woman who has had every man in town in her house, and they are not thought that they're one of the men in town. They are thought that they are a pure being who is unsullied by anything that might be going on around them. And they talk to this woman, and they say, you know, love, you can do anything you want. And you can change like that right now and be a beautiful person that the rest of the town would admire. But like Jesus, they would say to him, hey, whatever you do is your business. I have no judgment of you. But I'm just telling you, if you keep up doing what you're doing, you're going to be ostracized by the town. And you are already, but you can stop that. You can start being a beautiful person. Now, what does it mean to be a good person? Well, it means to join the Parent Teachers Association. It means to join the local church and be active in the women's club. It means to be active in the various charities that are in town. You don't have to be a giver to the charities. That's lovely too. But you can be a participant in the charities to help run them. You understand? Yeah. You see, you can involve yourself in all things that you call good. And pretty soon, the town is going to start thinking of you as a good person. Now, they won't accept you immediately. They will think that you are dirty laundry coming into their clean basket, you know. But as you show your attitude about yourself, that you sincerely want to be a not good person, but a person that is acceptable in the community, then you will be. Now, a good person, Miss Wonderful, who is head of the charities and who is head of this and who is chairman of the PTA and who is this and that and the other thing, she can make a mistake. She can lose her dog. And then the neighbor man comes over and consoles her and says, I'm so sorry you lost your dog. I'm so sorry that your dog has died. So she cries on his shoulder, and next thing they're crying in the bed, you know. And so here she is, a good person, but because of her mental instability for a few moments, she fell off the wagon of being a good person. Now, can she get back on the wagon again? Sure. But maybe she found, hey, that's kind of nice. That's a nice neighbor. I'll invite him over once in a while because he's a. I miss that feeling of somebody who really cares for me and also being in bed with him. You know, I miss that. Now, hey, when you fall off the wagon, the point is, do you choose to stay off? When bad things happen to good people, do you intend to keep up the bad things that are happening, or do you intend to put a new cause in motion? When a bad thing happens to you and you have a pain, and you say, oh, I have this pain, then you deserve it. When a bad thing happens to you as a good person and you have this pain and you say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And you say it and you say it and you say it and you walk like you live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. You talk like you're in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. You live like you're in your ideal spirit. Hey, whatever bad you might interpret the pain in your body to be, you can be the master and have good in your body right now. It's just up to you. It's just up to me. It's just up to our decision. We are good people. Everyone is a good person. And when bad things happen to good people, then you know who is really the good person. Do they let their attitude that bad, oh dear, I must have done something so terrible that the bad thing happened. All you did was put a cause in motion. You put in cause in motion that you're sick. You put a cause in motion that you have no friends. You put a cause in motion that life has its problems for you. And sure enough, it does. But you can also put the cause in motion. Hey, I'm balanced. That's past. I'm a new person now. I'm living a new life. I'm living a new attitude. I'm living a new world. I am myself. I like me. Now, you see, then you have that bundle of sticks that is unbreakable. The bundle of sticks that says, I like me, I like me, I like me. That's a bundle of sticks. One bundle, one stick, two sticks, three stick, four stick. I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. I'm home perfect, I'm home perfect, I'm home perfect. And it cannot be broken. Just ask Ingeborg. When Ingeborg's out there bringing in the sticks to put in the fireplace and cleaning up the yard and having a ball doing it, she doesn't try to take six sticks over her knee and break them. She just takes one. And she doesn't put it over her knee. She puts it over the edge of the cart or something. And then she breaks it. But you see, one at a time. One at a time we take those bad things that happen to good people. And we replace them with the ideal of who we are. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I'm whole and perfect. Everything is in divine order. Everything is wonderful. You see, people come to me and they say, Herb, I got this problem. I said, super. No, Herb, don't be so silly. Herb, I got this problem. Super. Don't be so silly. Well, hey, I'm happy for you that you have anything that you have, because that means that's a choice you've made to have it. No, I don't want it. Well, then stop talking about it. What do you want? Herb, I'm whole and perfect. Hey, cool, I like that. You know, I bet your body likes that too. Your body thinks that's nice when you say, I'm whole and perfect. Well, start saying it. But it's not the truth. There you go again. Bad things happen to good people because you keep denying your goodness. You keep denying your reality. Hey, I take a walk with Rex in the morning and he picks up sticks. And sometimes he picks up big sticks, and he picks them up right in the middle, and he walks, and he throws his head up in the air, and he brushes against me with the big stick, and clunk, and scratch, and clunk. I got long pants, unfortunately. And so when he runs a stick across my leg, it's across my pants. But if I had my short pants on, you know, or if I walk in naked with him, man, and he runs that stick across me, that could hurt. Then I would be in charge to make sure he only picks up short sticks. Or if he picks up a long stick, I would say to him, Rex, let's see that stick. And I would help him to break it up. Now, He carries that long stick so proudly for maybe 100 feet, and he is throwing it around, and he is so happy. And then after 100 feet, he just sets it down and goes on to something else. He's not possessed by it. I'm possessed by him having it. I'm possessed by thinking that he wants it, that this is what he wants forever. But when I reach down with any stick he has in his mouth, he gives it to me, and then we play it. And I break it in half, and I do this, and I do that to it. And he says, oh, good, 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 good. Thanks, Dad. I want to do that too, you know. And so we do it together. And then he picks up a little part of it and carries it along for a little ways. And then he drops it and goes on to something else. You see, we think that other people and animals want something that we think they want because we would have wanted that if we were doing that. But, hey, why not change our mind and change their mind? When we do that, then miracles happen in our life. Now, bad things will always happen to good people who put a bad thought in motion, who put a thought that is going to bring something that they don't want to happen into their life. Now, what makes you think you're so all-fired intelligent that you can look at a person and see bad thing happening to them and say, isn't that too bad? That's exactly what they wanted. Because now people feel sorry for them that bad things happen. Nobody paid any attention to this good person who was doing their good thing and living their good life. And then they see how nice it is to have people pay attention when you're sick in bed. How nice it is to have people pet you when you're a puppy dog, you know. And they want a little petting and they want to feeling sorry for them. You say, oh, no, they would surely not. Hey, don't kid yourself. When they see it in the movies, and they see it on the videos, and when they see it in everyday life, they say, hey, well, I should get a little bit of that. I should get a little of that cuddling and a little bit of caring. And really, that's what it's all about. Where if we could live our life and be so happy in the goodness that is and the goodness that we are and the goodness that happens around us, that we wouldn't even want to think about something like that. Like our friend Dorothea, she's a fabulous woman, but every once in a while, she brings up the fire. And I said, don't do that. That's something past. Now, with the fire comes all the unhappiness that was in it, the death of her guru and everything else like that. And you see, you don't need that anymore. That's past. Now, she has now found a new philosophy. I would not like to say a new guru, but she's found a new philosophy which has taken over her life and has given her a new impact and a new direction. The thought of the fire has to be released totally. Anytime the thought of the fire comes up, she is bringing it up. She should clean her house totally of any reminder of the fire. She should clean her life of any reminder of it. And her friends should help her do that. She doesn't need remembrances of the past. She needs, if need is the right word, to build a life of happiness and to build a life of wholeness and to build a life of immortality, we live in the present moment. You can't live in tomorrow, and you can't live in yesterday, because every time you live in yesterday, you're back there again, and you're shortening your life experience. You're having bad things happen to good people. But who's to say that it's bad, except our observation? Who's to say that it's good, just our observation? All we want to say is, when we have, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me, these are the sticks in our bundle. And when we have so many sticks in our bundle, they can never be broken. When you take the sticks out separately, you can break them. But in the bundle, you can't. So you say, again and again, your affirmations, I like me, I like me, I like me, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Every organ, action, function of my body is whole and perfect right now. I like me. You see, let's build that bundle of sticks, as the African proverb has it, and it can never be broken. And we will always be standing up for who we really are, divine, wonderful, fantastic beings. Now, that's up to you. It's up to me. And if you ever feel sorry for yourself, you're taking individual sticks out and breaking them. And pretty soon, you'll be broken yourself. So... stand up for the truth, live the truth, enjoy the truth, and realize that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.